so grateful and so thankful on this day of love. Every day is a day of love with the Lord, isn't it? It really is. And this morning we were getting ready to go early this morning because we were chaperoning the FCCLA, and just felt like the Lord was telling me that I needed to take the time to turn on the computer and go to the website, and He wanted to remind everyone how much He loved them. And I was busy, but He was patient, and finally it just became very clear that before I left that was what I should do. And so I did. It wasn't long. It wasn't anything. It was just simply what the Lord wanted to say. He wanted to remind everyone how much He loved them. Today we got home and I had at least 6 different emails in my box from people who said that I had no idea how much they needed to hear that today. And I thought, you know, the simplest things, but it just reminded me again of the story of Mark Buntaine when, you know, he was ready to go die up in a cabin in the mountains, and somebody came by, knocked on the door and said, "Mark Buntaine, God loves you." Mark Buntaine had told literally millions of people that God loved them, but the reminder set him free. And that's what the Word of God is it's a revelation and it's a reminder. God has put in us His Spirit, and so the Spirit is alive within us, and as we take in the Word of God, it's not only revelation, but it's reminder to what's in us. The Holy Spirit bears witness with what the Spirit of the Lord says, and so the Spirit within us is what says yes, yes, oh yes, 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 why not, oh yes, 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 yes. Our flesh sometimes says no way, no way, no way. But the Holy Spirit is always bearing witness with the Spirit of God and saying yes. It's a good thing. Even the things that we feel in our flesh are not a good thing, in our heart and in our spirit, we know it's the best thing. We really do. And so we are allowing God to stir us up. As we said, you know, we don't want to stop somewhere along the way. We don't want to quit. We don't want to let yesterday's truth rob us of the future, of the truth that God has for us, as He opens the eyes of our understanding, as he carries us further, as when we were first studying the Bible and there were things that would cause me to take note. I called them red flags at the time. It were those things that I wasn't necessarily comfortable with. I wasn't sure that I wanted to go along with that, but I could something at that time. It was something. Now I know it was someone. But God was saying to me, just keep going. Just keep going. Don't worry about that. Don't quit because that doesn't agree with what you're thinking. Don't quit. Just keep going. Just keep going. We'll get you past that. You'll understand that later. Now, I did not understand when all of that was going on that was what He was saying, but now I understand what He was saying. To me, it was just, I'm not going to quit here. Even though, you know, I thought, well, boy, oh boy, I don't know if that's just right. You see, that a lot of people quit on the Word of God because they allow their flesh to rise up and say, well, now, that's just not right. You know, they just quit before they allow it to bring them up. I can remember 20 years ago, one time tuning in to Kenneth Copeland on TBN. Tuned in for about 10 minutes, and I thought, this guy's nuts. But I knew even then that I couldn't determine the guy by 10 minutes. But I also knew that I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that. And actually, he says that he came to a place where the Lord told him to quit talking about what he was talking about because he said, the church isn't ready for it. And so you just grow in it, you just go in it, you just keep on with it, but don't talk about that. Talk about something else until the people are ready for it. So he just kept going with it and growing in it, and by the time God let him talk about it, he really made people mad. But the fact of the matter is at the point in time, I wasn't ready for it. My spirit was, but my mind wasn't. But that's why we want to continue to have our minds renewed. That's why we want to continue to grow in this grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we want to take every word and receive it and graft it. You know, when they take a branch and they graft it onto a tree, well, that tree doesn't really have a lot of choice about it. Somebody stuck that branch on there. But it ends up receiving it, taking it in, sealing it on, and it grows with it. And it changes everything. We've got some trees that were supposed to be one kind of tree that they grafted onto something. And I don't think they're the kind of tree that we thought that they were supposed to be. One or the other took over that wasn't supposed to take over. But it received it. Well, you see, the Word of God, if we'll receive it, it can take over. If we'll receive the truth will make us free. If we'll allow it to, it will take over. It will transform us by the renewing of our mind so that what we were, we won't be anymore. We'll be a new creature. The Bible says actually we are new creatures. It does not yet appear what we'll be like. And so we shouldn't stop somewhere and determine what we're going to be like. We should allow the Word of God to keep going in us. Well, God just kept me in Mark chapter 11. And in Mark chapter 11, we come to the 25th verse that says, but. What's it saying but about? Well, it's saying but about what was said in the verses ahead of it. And so Jesus was talking, and this was right after they came past the fig tree, and the disciples said, wow, Lord, man, that's amazing. That baby's withered. You said it couldn't grow fruit anymore. It can't do nothing anymore. It's not really good for anything anymore. And Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I assure you that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But, well, I was thinking about this, and I could imagine the crowd, the people listening. There were always people listening in, you know. There were always people around. We know that at one point, he had 5,000 people following him around. And then they all left because it got too tough for him. So how many other people were there, I don't know. But he was saying to them, you can ask for anything. And you can, you know, it's like, okay, today, when somebody's preaching in a big place, they say something like that, you can ask for anything and you'll receive if you believe. You know, crowd goes crazy, clapping, cheering, hollering, yelling, you know. Now, whether they did that then, I don't know. Now, if I go by what I know from Fiddler on the Roof, there would be a lot of murmuring in the crowd. There'd be a lot of talking, you know. They like to talk, you know. And they like to go and curse people and stuff. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of bitterness and grudges and all kinds of stuff like that going on. But anyway, before this, he had simply said, you can ask anything, and if you believe, you'll get it. And I can imagine the people being, you know, excited about this. And there being people there saying, it's a lie, you can't believe that kind of stuff, that's name it and claim it, that's, you can't do that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, there's people, there's that thing that rises up in our flesh that immediately says, yeah, right, I've prayed, I haven't got everything I prayed for. Don't tell me I don't really believe. Well, you know, I don't know if you really believe or not, but I do really believe that God's right and we're wrong. If in anything we disagree with him, I'll take his side. Even if I'm the one that's on the other side, I'll take his side. That doesn't mean that I have it down perfectly. It just means that when I understand that it's his side against my side, he's got to be right. And I've got to get my thinking squared away. I'm the one that has to conform, not him. I'm the one that has to just do what the Word says, not him do what I think he ought to do. not him try to make the word conform to what I'm thinking, but I'm the one that's wrong. If it isn't working, I'm wrong. That's the way it's got to be, because God can't be wrong, can he? We have to be convinced that God can't be wrong, that God can't fail. And so, Jesus, after some have decided that, well, this sounds pretty good, maybe we ought to give it a try. I mean, what can it hurt? You know, you got all kinds of different thoughts there. He says, but. And our flesh says, yeah, there's always a catch. But. And so now there's another little rumbling and a little murmuring out there, and you know, I knew it sounded too good to be true. Yeah, what's the catch? What do you got to do? You know. And Jesus says, when you're praying, first forgive. First forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. When you're praying, first forgive. So if we have any unforgiveness, that's got to be taken care of. That's any unforgiveness. Well, I think I've forgiven everyone. Good. But it's still worth a search. Still worth a search. I understand that one day in Sunday school you talked about soul ties. You know, soul ties, pieces broken off, whatever you want to call them. In every relationship, something is swapped. A bad relationship, something's swapped. A good relationship, something's swapped. A broken relationship, well, the pieces are broken off. That's all there is to it. And the only one that can gather all those pieces is God. But we have to allow God to glue them back in. We have to allow God to do those things. And Jesus said, you know, forgive. First, you've got to forgive. First, you know. And that just made me think about, you know, there's always, man, the most important thing. You know, when sometimes you're going along and the key thing. And, you know, there's about a gazillion key things in the Bible. There's the first thing that you've got to do in any given situation. What is, you know, there's a lot of first things. We've got a lot of firsts. And we know those things. The Spirit knows it. The first thing that the Spirit says to us is the first thing that we need to do. Sometimes the first thing that the Spirit says to us is shut up. And that's the thing we ought to do. That would save a whole lot of other things that the Spirit would have to say to us. That would save a lot of forgiveness being necessary, because we wouldn't need to be forgiven, and we wouldn't need to be forgiving someone, because we didn't shut up, then they didn't shut up, then we didn't shut up, then they didn't shut up, then we didn't shut up, then they didn't shut up, and you got a stack of things that you just aren't interested in letting go of. Now, you push them down sometimes. It can be this tall. We squeeze it down. Everything's okay, we think. But is it gone? What's hindering our prayers? Are we willing to acknowledge that maybe something's hindering them if they aren't being answered? The human cop-out is, well, it's just not God's will. Well, that's not according to what Jesus said. You can pray about anything if you really believe. But can you really believe if you're not forgiving? You see? Can you really believe, if you don't forgive someone else, can you really believe that you're forgiven? Because you know what the Bible says. First, you've got to forgive so your Heavenly Father can forgive you. So if you don't really forgive, yes, I know I'm saved, bless God, I know, you know. Are you living in the fullness of your salvation? Well, bless God, I'm still getting there. Is it unforgiveness that's keeping you back? I don't know. But I do know that it's worth searching out. It's worth saying, search me, Lord. And then when something comes up, believing that maybe the Holy Spirit brought it up, and being done with it. You know, sometimes those things come up, and rather than just saying, oh God, forgive me. First we begin to declare, well, I forgave that. That's all taken care of. Well, then why did it come up? Then why don't you want to do it again? We have to wonder about those things. And we have to become so convinced in our heart that it's worth the effort. You know what? I would rather be forgiven again than to leave it unforgiven. Anything, Lord. Anything that you want. Simply because God says that we need to forgive is enough reason. And if we feel like we need to justify our unforgiveness, we really have a problem. I don't mean to sound harsh or anything, okay? This is just a simple fact, because if it's impeding our progress in the Lord, we need to look at it for what it really doesn't matter what happened to us. It doesn't matter. It's past. And God is greater. Could anybody possibly betray or hurt you more than you hurt Christ before you were saved? Could anyone betray them more? You know, God once said to Moses, they aren't rejecting you, they're rejecting me. When Samuel had to go and get a king for Israel, he said, they aren't rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Samuel knew they didn't need a king. He didn't want to give him a king. God said they want a king. It's nothing against you, Samuel. It's not that the judge, the prophet, isn't good enough for them. They're rejecting me because I'm your source. They're rejecting me. When somebody hurts you, they're not hurting you, they're hurting God. And for you to refuse to forgive them is for you to reject God, for you to refuse to do what God says that you ought to do. As I thought about this, God said that unforgiveness gives people ugly hearts. And an ugly heart can't really love or really believe. Because an ugly heart always has some doubt, always has some unbelief, always has some hardness to it. Unforgiveness leaves us with an ugly heart. But I know God loves me. Yes, He does. It isn't that He doesn't love us. He loved us before we ever knew Him. But the thing is that an ugly heart can't possibly do or be or receive everything that God has for it. Because an ugly heart never completely trusts. An ugly heart never completely believes. Because an ugly heart has to hold something back. An ugly heart is protecting itself rather than laying itself out there. When Abraham took Isaac and laid him on the altar, God told him to stay his hand, because now I know that there's nothing you will withhold from me. Jesus said, first, when you're praying, first forgive. When you're praying, make sure that you're praying without an ugly heart. An ugly heart just isn't going to work for God. And it isn't something that we need to sit and feel like, oh no, I've got an ugly heart, and be condemned over. But it's being willing to recognize that when we do those things that exalt themselves against the glory of God, we take on an ugly heart. When what we want or what we desire is greater than what God has said, when our holding on to our way surpasses our willingness to give over to God's way, we've moved out of a place to receive. We haven't moved out of His love, but we've hindered
what God wants to do in our lives. And we can't be double-minded about these things. We can't try to decide, well, okay, let's see. Okay, I'll pray about this. I mean, we can have unforgiveness for somebody we don't even know. We can have unforgiveness for a look that somebody gives us. We can have unforgiveness for, you know, I mean, today we were coming home on the bus and Vicki and I are both a little, we notice things like when kids call each other retard or things like that. We notice it a lot. We notice it partially because we have a son that would be declared that. But, you know, we recognize it as an ugly sort of a word. Well, we can hold that against the people that say it and have unforgiveness in our heart. If I'm not willing to forgive someone, how can I pray for them? I rob them of the power of God to change their lives. Nobody could do anything stupider than the things that I did. Nobody. It doesn't matter what anybody does, there's nothing that they could do. And I need to remember that so that when those things come up, my first thought is to pray for them. I heard sirens going by tonight as I was doing the devotion. I don't know what happened. Something was going on south of town. I was praying for the people. But you know something? There are people that get so caught up in religion that they hear sirens and the first thing they think of, well, I guess God's teaching somebody a lesson. You know, when are they ever going to, well, I hope this town learns someday. Well, I do too. I do too. But I hope that they don't learn that God's out punishing people. Because I don't think God is. I think the devil's out taking advantage of opportunities. I think he's out and he gets free rein where there's ugly hearts. He gets free rein where there's religious judgmentalism. He gets free rein to go out and mock God and get God blamed for bad things. Because his own people get hard and ugly hearts. And so we have to guard against those things. The Bible says that we should guard our hearts. We have to guard against these things. We have to do what is right.